Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I just spent a week in Minneapolis for a preacher's convention. I was with 1,800 preachers, and all I could think about was how much hot air that was producing and how many hot air balloons we could have launched. Of course, we were in a very large church, probably 10 times the size of this one, because it housed all those preachers in this one huge space. It was Central Lutheran Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Magnificent building. And as the pastor came to give greetings to this auspicious group, I thought of how I would have felt some years ago when I was but a young pastor. I would have been jealous and wanted to be a part of a magnificent church and preach in a big church. But all I could feel after 29 years was, there but for the grace of God go I. Because as I looked at this magnificent building, all I could think of was how much money it must take. They must be raising money all the time, because it's a huge place and it needs upkeep. I wondered what the light bill must be like. I wondered how the pastor would have to chase down people to be trustees of the church, who had to, the lay people who would have the business of taking care of that building. I couldn't imagine the headaches that would come doing that. So when I read the story that we all know so well of Jesus coming to the temple and driving out the people who were buying and selling there, I thought all they were doing was trying to keep the business of the church going, the business of the temple, because Central Lutheran would have looked like a little chapel in comparison with that temple. And even though they didn't run by electricity, they still had bills to pay. And I thought of how I would feel if Jesus came here and while our ushers were passing the plate, overturned them. I wouldn't be happy about that. Because after all, part of running the institution, whatever it is business. And so we give those priests a bad press, but if we really think about it, we would not have been happy with Jesus coming to us today and overturning our tables and saying, get out. So why did he do that? Why did Jesus overturn the tables? He must have understood economics. He must have understood that things had to be paid for. We hear in the biblical record that there were a group of women who financed his ministry, so we know that he was cognizant of that reality. But he gives us a hint when he quotes Isaiah, and he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." So we have to go back to Isaiah and understand the context there. The people of God had come back from exile. The people of God were so thrilled to be back in their homeland, back after oppression, after many years of oppression. They were back to rebuild their place and to rebuild their temple. So you can imagine when the prophet Isaiah says to them, "Thus says the Lord," it's not only for you. He said, even the foreigners are going to come. And when they sacrifice in this sacred place, God's going to recognize them too. Now think about that. I'm sure they asked Isaiah, "You mean the Babylonians too? Babylonians are the modern day Iraqis. You mean them too? The people who oppressed us, if they come to this temple, we've got to let them in?" I don't think so. Isaiah was proposing something quite radical and something the people there would not have appreciated. And he said, not only the foreigners, but the eunuchs also, people who were the servants and the slaves, people we wouldn't deem to be fit to come into our temple. And not only those, he said, even the outcasts of your own people. If they come in, there's a place for them at my table. Not something the people of God wanted to hear, especially after they had been coming out of foreign domination. See, God always tells us things we don't want to hear. Even them. Now, the people obeyed the letter of the law. When they built this magnificent temple, they said, yeah, there'll be a place for them. We'll call it the court of the Gentiles. Now, they can't go into the sacred place, but we'll let them have their space. And we'll let the women have their space. And there'll be the court of the women. But they can't go into the sacred space. And I guess for a few years, perhaps, that court was there and was a sacred space for those Gentiles that happened to come and the women who would come. But then after a while, the people encroached on that space. And instead of being a place where the foreigners and the women and the outcasts could go in and have their time of worship and come to God, it became a place of commerce, because we can't touch our space. But, you know, they won't mind. And so they set up their tables. And that's why Jesus came in and absolutely overturned the tables and said, this cannot be. And I learned an important lesson about that. That when we give a space to people who are not like us, it's not just for their sake, it's for ours. When I first entered a Moravian church sanctuary, the person preaching in that pulpit was a Jamaican man. I understood about every three words he said. And every time he had a really important point, his voice would drop to a whisper, so I really couldn't understand it. And I'd have to strain to understand what he was saying. And then when he'd make a joke, he would talk so fast I missed the whole punchline. But when I would go to greet this man, Stanley Thomas, this Jamaican man, he greeted me like a long-lost sister. I was so intrigued by this church and by this man whose language I could barely understand, even though he spoke English, that I decided to join the Inquirer's class. I told him straight up, I do not intend to become a member of this church, but I'd like to learn a little more about it. So he invited me to come. The first time we came, there were two people there. One of the ladies was going to join the church, and then there was me. And of course, I asked all the tough questions that only somebody who's outside a church can ask. And I wasn't polite about it. What about this, and what about that, and how do you believe about that? And then the next time, I was the only one there. I think I scared off the other person. And I figured he would cancel the class because, after all, I was the only one there and I had no intention of joining. But he kept class anyway. And we sat for the next few weeks talking. And we would talk about scripture and we'd talk about my journey. And every time we would, he'd pray for me. And I grew to love this man. In my first church, my church was filled with people from Jamaica and Antigua. And they accepted me with open arms. And then one day I was invited to a party, and I knew that I had gained accessibility. When you're a pastor and you're invited to somebody's home when it's not religious stuff. It's really cool, except that they wanted to make me a plate of food. And of course, I said, sure. And the woman comes with the plate, and on it is curried goat, rice, but not white rice, this kind of rice with kidney beans in it, and then this other round, meaty substance called oxtail. And I'm looking at goat meat and an ox who got his tail cut off. And I'm trying to figure out how to eat this stuff, maybe take a few bites and then for the rest of the night push it around the plate and then say, oh, I'm just so full. I didn't know what I was going to do as I looked in horror at my plate. And I politely took a bite of each and fell so much in love with oxtail and goat meat that when I came to this place, I could not understand why Al Johnson's would put goats on the roof and not on the menu. I have gained so much from the people of God in so many different areas, and it's given me so much. You see, when we have a place at the table, not to say, well, you can come in, and you're our project, and we'll take care of you, but come in and be a part of this community, we gain. I will bring the foreigners in. When I first met Joyce Dettert, Dave's lovely wife, I gave her a hard time. Because I don't know if she remembers this, because I had been inquiring about bridges for a while and trying to find out how to get our church involved. And when I saw, I said, we want to be involved. Not because we need more work, but because I know the joy of bringing someone into my home or going to somebody's home who's different from me. We gain so much. But God also says, I'm going to bring the outcasts in. Those are the people we really don't like. Those are the people who don't have the same values that we have, that don't have the same lifestyle that we have. When my mother was working as the payroll director, it was a very fine job, and she was given this promotion to be the head of payroll for the College of Staten Island. But when you work in civil service, you don't get to choose your staff. And she inherited a woman from another office who was just a diva. She was a woman who, every time there was some crunch and they really had to get the work out, decided to take a day off. She had meltdowns in the office. And my mother knew that she was coming. And so what Mom did whenever she had a situation that was beyond her, she would pray. And so she asked God, she said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm stuck with her. This woman also had values that were so contrary to my mother's values. She had divorced a perfectly good husband. She had a lover, and she brought him in, and she had teenage children. And these teenage children despised their mother. And so what happens in those situations, the teenagers started acting out. And she would come to work with a situation of her own making. But what my mother would do is say, you know, Annie, take 2 hours off and go home. I know you need to go home and be with your family. And she showered her with kindness and showered her with affection. And by the time my mother retired from that job, this woman, who had been such a thorn in everybody's flesh, was her right-hand person, arranged a party for Mom, not in the office, but in a swank restaurant, and persuaded the president of the college to come and make presentations. And then she took over my mother's position, and until the day my mother died, they stayed in contact. God has a place at the table, not just for the people that we approve of and like. And it's up to us to bring them in and to love them into the kingdom. Jesus said, whosoever will may come. We have such an opportunity here to bring people in, people who are not like us, people who might not have our values, and give them a place at the Lord's table. Let us pray for the opportunity to join together in the human family, and people of all races and creeds whom you send to these shores. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.